Welcome to BizRocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for BizRocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to BizRocket Radio. This is John Baker, and I welcome you in on another beautiful day here in Atlanta. We've got a great show for you today with a couple of pros in media and consulting for a video, which I'm going to get into some really good stories today that I can't wait for. Our two guests, Leslie Becker and Reggie Flake, work with 32nd Street Media, and as our listeners know, BizRocket's a show where we get a chance to learn from executives and business owners, learn about the challenges that they've had, some of the successes they've had, and our two guests today are definitely going to add to that today. So I want to get a little bit of background on you guys. Reggie, tell me a little bit about you and kind of how you got into where you are now.
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for having us on today. My background started, believe it or not, in the eighth grade. Okay. I worked on the stage crew, and we got into lighting and all those things. We got into a little camera, film camera work. And so my interest was piqued in stage and theater. But then as I went through high school and everything, I got interested in writing, and I got interested in television. And so when I went to college, my major was journalism with a broadcast emphasis, and I never changed my major. And we had a fantastic
So you're the guy. You're the guy that actually went in with the same major that they left with.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same one.
They mentioned that person. I didn't really knew you existed.
Oh, yeah. And besides that, we had a fantastic journalism department at the University of Wisconsin at River Falls. And excellent broadcasting equipment. And because of that, before I graduated college, I had a job at a ABC affiliate in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right out of the gates.
Right out of the gates. And actually, my goal was to be a cameraman, and that was my first job. So I had to change my goals. And so that's when I decided, okay, I'm interested in producing. I started hanging around the newsroom and decided because of hanging around the newsroom, I didn't want to get into news journalism, that I left the station I was at, and I went to a local, not affiliate, but I don't want to say the name, but a local cable station, right, and learned how to produce. And that's where my producing credentials started.
All right. And the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history.
All right, we're going to learn about the company here in a second, but Leslie.
Yes.
You're marketing and promotions and sales.
Absolutely.
And you're the person who makes things happen.
Absolutely. And my particular background started when I was at AT&T for over 20 years. I have telecommunications experience and in sales. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I've come full circle. So I studied arts, fine arts at Ohio State, and then pursued a career in sales with AT&T for over 20 years and managed large teams and moved about 7 times. But actually, that's where my expertise came from, is working with a lot of clients, selling large networks, and being able to market their products and services. So as a result, when Reggie had this opportunity, it became real that he asked me to join in that capacity on the sales and marketing and operations side of the house.
All right, so he takes care of the deliverable, and you make sure there are people to deliver it to.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the company, 32nd Street Media. What do you guys do? What's the focus of the business? Obviously, production of...
Well, yeah, that's our main focus. It started, believe it or not, we're on LinkedIn, as most people are today.
Yeah.
And this guy, Alex Fierro, sent me a note asking me if I'd be interested in meeting with him. And I met with him, and we talked, and he spoke about a platform he has, which is an online broadcast network. And he wanted me to be involved with that in the selling of the networks. And so we met a few times, and I really liked him. I really liked the idea. And so I said, Leslie, we need to talk to this guy. We had him over to the house. We gave him a short presentation about what we could do for him. And he liked it, and we decided we wanted to work together. And so we said, okay, now it's time to form a company. And we formed Nicole Anderson Media Services, and which are the middle names of our kids.
Okay.
And so we said, okay, that's nice, but it's not sexy.
Right.
And so we said, we have to come up with something sexy. And so I said, well, what about 33rd Street Media? And we liked it, but it wasn't available. 33rd Street was at the corner of where I grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, 32nd Street is also a very hip street in Philadelphia. And then we realized Leslie did some research, and there's a 32nd Street around the world. In Dubai, in New York, in London. So yeah. We love that. And then a friend of ours said, well, you also produce 32nd videos. So we were hooked.
Done.
That's where the name came from. Yes.
Perfect. So tell us about your business and about the videos and kind of what's the product? What do they get? What do people get?
The customer working with us gets to work with us to design a solution and bring to the marketplace their message. So, for example, if you have a client that says, you know, we have a challenge here. We can't connect with our individual salespeople, and we need to get some kind of other media in order to make a presentation around that. So what solutions do you have? So we sit down with clients to understand where are they going, what kind of message are they trying to present, what is the value statement here, and what do they actually need? So we really have those kind of touch points with the client, as well as showing them how effective this particular medium is for their clients and for their end users as well. And also know that this is the fastest growing medium in the marketplace, because they say content is king.
Yeah.
And so it is actually growing faster than some other traditional forms of marketing. And customers, when we tell them exactly what we're doing, because we go from actual concept to a script, a production studio, getting talent, editing, and getting it on the air or actually on the web. So we can go from concept to actual on air.
Good stuff. So is there a specialization that you guys focus on? Is it you know, products? Is it services? Is it athletics? What's the
focus? You know, it's we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves like that. And so it depends what the client wants to do. I have a background of creating corporate videos for companies like General Mills, Target, American Express. Also, I worked 10 years with the Minnesota Timberwolves, so I understand the sports arena, in addition to having created sales presentations for them, and also creating suite sales videos, you know, selling the suites that you see in the stadiums.
Right.
So we have a well-rounded understanding of the different types of videos people would like. And before I went to the Timberwolves, I used to work at a local Fox station where I wrote commercials, car commercials, furniture commercials, and I also shot and edited those commercials.
Wow.
So, you know, a pretty good background.
Well diverse.
Very well diverse.
So if I'm a business owner... and I'm looking to, because these, you said 32nd videos. Tell me more about that.
Well, as a business owner, if you wanted to be on say, NBC or a local cable station, the actual time is 29.5 because of the automation process. They need that 0.5 seconds to to transition to the next commercial.
Right.
So we would do that type of commercial for you. But on the internet, attention span is lower.
Right.
Usually they're 10 to 15 second videos.
Wow.
Sometimes you'll see a 30 second video on Yahoo or Google, but most of the time it's a 15 second video.
Hmm. So those are the ones streaming on the side of the website?
Or even the major ones, like when they're doing a movie preview or a trailer, it'll be 15 seconds in length. Unless one, it's more expensive to do 30, but two, the attention span is shorter online.
Yeah.
So they want to hit them quick and get out.
How do you get the attention? In 15 seconds, how do you tell a story, a message? I mean, that's got to be extremely difficult.
You know, if you ever watch a video, even on TV, this society we're in today, you know, because of video games and everything like that, and our children have grown up, I tease my kids and say, you know, you grew up with the microwave. I didn't. So they're used to things being quick.
Right.
And so if you watch a video on television or even on the internet, a shot changes every second. Even sometimes less than a second, there's a shot change. And so when you have that movement, it makes the eye flicker, if you will, kind of like going down a movie gate of a film. And so the attention is that it's something more coming. That's how you keep the attention, anticipation of what's next.
Hmm. So tricks of the trade.
That's one of them.
Yeah. You're not going to give me all.
I can't give you all. Then you wouldn't need me.
So, Leslie, when you're marketing this kind of stuff, who is it that you're talking to? Who are the people that this is really resonating with?
These are clients that are currently probably using other mediums for marketing their products and services, but want to venture out into new medium like video or digital content. And so these are clients that are currently have a budget for marketing their products and services, but are actually exploring other ways of engaging their clientele or their customer base. And so we are giving them a way to tell their story and send that message and also engage their clientele. And a call to action is how we call it in this medium.
Also, if I may, we also provide a social media component with that, because you have to be with the times.
Yeah, sure.
And so we have people who are very versed in the social media field, and along with creating your Facebook or Twitter page, we also will provide analytics so you can measure who's coming, measure the impact, and understand that your social media brand is making a difference. Otherwise, why do it?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing that I've always wondered, and we've had some social media people on the show here, and that measurement piece is so important. It's I guess it's a lot easier nowadays than it used to be to measure, because you're just counting clicks, right? You're counting to see who came in and watched and went to content.
Well, yeah, but you also want to, like Leslie mentioned, the call to action. Mm-hmm. You also want to know, is there a call to action? Am I seeing a difference in the number of hits that I'm getting on my website? Is a client calling in? What are they doing once they use our social media? And those are the kind of measurements we can do now.
Well, let me ask you a question about that with regards to the video, because I know just for me personally, when I'm browsing the web, like if I'm looking for a video of some sort, like say on YouTube, and they put one of those 15 second things in front, or maybe I'm catching up on an episode of television that I missed, and they put these little things up that I have to sit through, I have zero desire to click them. I'm just kind of waiting them out. So really, I'm just wondering, am I the anomaly? I mean, how many people actually do see a video, see the call to action, and click through? I'm assuming it people do, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. But what's the statistic on that like?
Yeah, there's a number of messages out there that provide that statistic. But what we're running into is that with what we're trying to do is to target so customers pretty much that want to look at those type of videos actually receive those videos. So that's going to be the difference. There's a lot of marketing today that's just flashing out there. And let's show it up and hopefully somebody will click on this.
Right.
Whereas what we're doing is targeting based on statistics and geographical information and data that we have, we'll be sending out our particular types of commercials that we're creating specifically to those end users.
Okay.
And what she's referring to is a couple of platforms that Alex has created. Because what we want to do is not eliminate the search. You can't eliminate the search. But with his platforms, the search will be more direct. For instance, he's created a website called Search Commercials, and we're working to get that up now. And with Search Commercials, what's going to happen is it'll be categories of video commercials. For instance, if you're interested in buying a car, you'll go to the automobile section and look at the car that you're interested in. And if you're interested in real estate, you go to real estate. So now I'm getting what I want versus it being put in my face. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I want to look at a news story, I'm not interested in seeing a commercial. And I create them, and I don't want to see them. But most of the commercials you see like that are the ones who are Coca-Cola or automobile commercial who are really supporting their brand. Because their brand is established. You wouldn't see a new brand do that.
Yeah, you have to spend just so much money on airtime to just get it. And with DVRs and recorders, a lot of that stuff is being surfed right through. But to Andy's point, when you're on the internet, and that seems to be really people trying to figure out how do you commoditize that time and how do you benefit from it as a business owner or as a corporation, you've got to be able to take that short snippet and be able to kind of run with it. And it's some of the things that you can't get by it, right? You can't close it. You got to sit through it, like Andy said.
And most people will sit through it. And I wish I would have brought numbers that I recently read about the amount of video hours watched on the internet. It's in the millions of hours that people watch video on the internet.
All right, this is an off-the-wall question, but how's Facebook going to commoditize their billions of members and people that are out there? How can they take what you do and the videos that you create? Is there a way that they're going to be able to commoditize that?
Well, what I would do with if I was Facebook, I would create a research around my users and figure out what are their likes and dislikes. Some people might like surfing. Other folks like water sports. Other people like auto racing. You know, sewing. I would try to figure out my groups, and then I would put them in groups, and then I would have some video snippets come up that they're interested in.
Not just blast out everything and hopefully something sticks.
That
right?
I call that the shotgun approach.
Right.
And some things stick. Most stuff fall off the wall. And I think when you do real target marketing, that's when you reach the people that you're interested in reaching, and that's when the person that you're representing, your client, gets the most bang for their buck. Because that's what we're really about, is giving you the most bang for your buck.
Well, I think that's kind of the silver bullet to a certain degree. I mean, can you imagine if you're an auto manufacturer and you can know that 80% of the commercials that you're shooting are going to somebody who's actually looking for a car right then versus the, 1% or 0.5% that you're hoping to kind of catch in your broadcast, right?
Exactly.
And that's the key. How do you do that?
Well, it's called Target. It's the Target. And I forget the name of the website that sells just automobiles. But I bet they're doing gangbusters because they're reaching an audience who wants to come and get what they have.
Well, but that audience still has to go to that site, right? They've got to say, I'm now looking, right? So now you're getting somebody who's a researcher versus you're hitting somebody who's passively doing something else, and they go, oh, hey, you know what? I am interested in actually buying a car. Mm-hmm. I just realized that popped up. And that's kind of what you're talking about with Facebook, because of Facebook, they kind of know now whether they're going to, whether their audience is going to have an appetite for you using the information that they put out there in goodwill for someone else to know just their friends, and you're using it to advertise to them. I don't know, Andy, what do you think about that?
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, jump in.
Well, what I was going to say is, here's another issue Facebook has. Yeah. See, they've trained their user that we don't have advertising on the page.
Right.
Now they have to retrain the user to get used to seeing advertising on
the
page.
Right.
And that's going to be hard for a lot of the folks who use Facebook, because I don't know if you're on Facebook, but they use the whole page. The user can use the whole page, the entire page. Right. So it's going to be hard to change them.
Well, you know, I don't mind the landscape having some advertising in it. I don't like the obtrusive advertising. Mm-hmm. When things pop up and I have to move them out of the way, those are annoying to me. But, you know, I find it I like this idea of targeting.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, I'm a triathlete, and I'm always in need of some new gear, right, or new clothing or apparel or something. And I like knowing when a deal has come about and I can find that and I don't have to go digging and searching. I just want it off to the side where I can click it at my own leisure.
And Andy, you are typical of what's evolving and how this particular product and services is changing, is that you will have more target marketing and less of just the random shotgun approach to advertising. And specifically, they'll appreciate, users like yourself will appreciate the fact that I'm getting the information that I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's the key is you don't want your time wasted, but if you're interested in a certain topic, you don't mind seeing it, and you certainly don't have a problem seeing it more often. Somebody is all of a sudden, you know, getting that out in front of you, and you didn't even have to go look for it. That's the beauty of advertising, right?
Well, think about sports. When you're interested in sports, if something about Kobe Bryant or whoever pops up, it's not intrusive.
Right, because you wanted to know about it.
Exactly, yeah, but if there's a commercial coming up that's totally out of the blue and you can't click away, as Andy spoke about, then it is intrusive. So they really have to watch what line they're crossing because, you know, here in America, we like choice. And we don't like people taking our choices away from us.
So in your business, in your model, you're producing the advertising, the video, the scripts, the people if you need to get people in there, and the whole nine yards. And it sounds like what you're saying is that the thing that's making you different, which is always the thing that I want to know about, is this targeting piece. Because there's a lot of people like you that can shoot video and they have lots of experience in doing that, producing it and doing the scripts and everything else. I'm sure you're great at that. But talk to us about, in your own words, what makes you really different.
Well, I think what makes us really different is the 31 years of broadcast experience that I have. And from being behind the scenes of major sporting events, watching how the NBA does their marketing, watching how Major League Baseball does their marketing, which is different from the NBA, and also being a part of the National Hockey League, watching what they do. That makes me real different. And then going into the corporate offices and watching how they carry themselves and watching how General Mills target their product or their user versus how Target hits their user. That's what really makes us different, is the experience that we bring to the table. And then Leslie's success with handling multi-million dollar accounts. So we're able to handle, you know, a mall and pa store, but we're also able to handle a Fortune 500 company.
So let's talk about that smaller group. Leslie, maybe this is something on the marketing side. What is it that a smaller company, you know, maybe 100, maybe 200 employees, you know, 10 million, 20 million in sales revenue, what kind of marketing or promotions would be helpful for them?
Well, looking at this medium, this digital medium, it gives them an opportunity to actually get into a new medium of video, which they probably have never ventured into, versus going through maybe a direct agency that maybe is too cost prohibitive for them. So we can personalize it. We can work one-on-one with them. We can give them a lot of the talent, the professionalism that they're looking for, as well as the one-on-one that they may be looking for. And we understand the corporate client very well. We understand the broadcast medium very well. And we know how to work individually with these customers to make this happen. So we have that type of experience in terms of working with individuals, and we can show them how this can be done. And what we like to tell people is we tell a story. We're storytellers. We can take the information and create a message so that they can reach their end user, as well as have a call to action and differentiate themselves from the competition, which is the biggest key here.
So if I'm a company and I'm looking for somebody like you guys, Walk me through the process. What would it be like?
You would contact us either through our email address or our phone number. And then we'd say, okay, let's sit down. We'll talk to you. And if you're not a fit, we'll let you know. That's number one. If your idea is very grandiose and your budget is not, we'll also let you know that. Mm-hmm. But what we try to do is, number one, make you comfortable with the decision you're trying to make. And number two, make sure that we fit the kind of product you're looking for into the kind of company you are. So, because it's your company talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we walk you through that process, then we'll do an outline based on what you're interested in trying to, what message you're trying to give. And then we'll do a storyboard. And from that, then we'll go to scripting. Mm-hmm. Because we'll do a storyboard to show you that maybe your idea doesn't really look well. Because until you see it, and people then when they see it on paper, they get an idea of what their story really is.
So for those of us who are not familiar with the lingo, storyboard, what's a storyboard?
A storyboard is if you ever read comic strips, it's not as detailed as a comic strip, but it looks like a comic strip. And each frame will have a line of the commercial in it.
Oh, okay.
And so, and then they'll say if it's car auto sales, we start with a shot of the car, and the next shot might be a guy sitting behind the wheel, and the next shot might be a shot of his family enjoying the car.
Gotcha.
So that's how we would go through a storyboard.
All right, so they do the storyboard. If that flows well, you start with the script.
We start with the script. And then we have, see, the one thing that Leslie has said is that I can't produce anymore. And so I have to be presidential.
Yeah.
And so what that means is we do have a freelance, very good freelance producers who work with a lot of the major networks around town and around the country who will come in and take over and produce the commercial or documentary or infomercial. Depends what the client wants.
Right. So they got the commercial done, and then you hand it over to them, and is that it?
Well, no, actually what we'll do is talk to them about placement in the pre-process, because we don't want to just produce it and then throw a commercial at you. You're going to go, where do I put it?
Right.
And so if they're interested in local television, if it's cheaper for the local television station, if it's cheaper for the client for the local television station to produce it, we'll hand that off. We'll let them do that. But if they want something more specialized, then we'll do the commercial. We'll work with them in traffic. That's what it's called at the station.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work through traffic with them to get the kind of rotation and target the audience they're interested in. Is it prime time? You know, is it 7 to 11? Is it a day part, morning, afternoon? Or is it after midnight, which is a cheaper slot to start with, especially for a small company?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the audience you're trying to reach, and that's what we'll try to make sure you hit. Because if you don't hit your audience, it's a waste of money and time.
Right.
What's the most common mistake you see companies making when it comes to using this type of advertising? Do they come in wanting to do like a branding message and they should be doing a call to action, or vice versa, or they got limited budget but they want a big production? I mean, what do you guys see?
We're seeing that a number of customers maybe aren't too familiar with the capabilities of the medium, the digital content. And so they don't see the breadth and depth of what this medium can do, and the way that they can interact their client and user base. So it's more of educating them around that and showing them, you know, how their message can translate into a return on investment. And so that's where it's a lot of education, as well as showing them what the capabilities of this medium. So it's for some it's new, and for others it's like, yeah, I'm interested. I definitely want to explore this. And the ideal client would be somebody that wants multiple digital content delivered by us. And so we continue to work with them on various projects. And so we have a couple of them that are looking from that perspective.
So really creating a digital strategy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of people do waste a lot of money,
yeah,
especially your bigger companies, because, you know, it's called putting good money after bad. and you're not hitting your market, but they're just, some people take the idea that if we flood the market, we're going to hit who we're looking at. And I say, why flood the market? Why not just hit the people you really want? It might be that you might do some commercial ad, but we might recommend, well, you might want to do some print ad with this also, because you're going to hit a different audience in a different place.
That's interesting. So as a digital group, you mm-hmm. still fall back to some traditional means as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because people, they still read the newspaper. And now when we say print ad nowadays, it's also the Wall Street Journal online. And so you can advertise with them online.
Now, is that demographic-based, by the way? Are you seeing that there's an age group or demographic that is they're newspaper magazine readers, and yet if you've got a different target market, you really avoid that medium?
Right. You really need to know the demographics before you actually create a medium or create your digital content so that you know where to target. I think the problem that a number of individuals are having is that they're creating the content, but it's just being thrown out there, and it needs to be fine-tuned because there is statistics out there and there's a lot of data out there. I don't think people know how to use it effectively in order to target where that digital content should go.
And we do know that younger folks will read news online. They won't pick up the paper like my father likes to do. But they will go to a Wall Street Journal or a place like that when they're transitioned there. You know, online, you click on something, and the next thing you know, you're somewhere else. The next thing you know, you're on a BBC site because of your click-throughs. So it depends on your search and the search engine you're on. It'll take you where you don't want to be sometimes.
What are your thoughts on how this medium is going to change in the near future?
That's a good question. There is a lot of data that's out there that talks about the ad space. And they're already predicting by 2016 that web ads will surpass TV ads.
Wow.
And it's several billion dollar business. And so that is already being spoken about. And you are seeing some of that transition taking place now. So the growth of this particular business is phenomenal and will continue to increase.
And it's limitless. The broadcast platform that we're working on, the network broadcast platform, is online. That's where people want to go. The difference with what we have versus even the website the NBC has is that Alex Fierro has the patent on the numerical index, which means we're bringing channel surfing to the Internet. When you come to our website, Worldwide Broadcast Network, you'll be able to go to channel 2 and find whatever network paid for that channel. Say it's NBC, and NBC's network will have channel 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, as many channels as they want to purchase on their network. And so it's really going to change the platform. For instance, with college sports, now what you'll have is not just the major sports on the network, but now let's say a Big Ten will be able to have their non-revenue generating sports, gymnastics, softball, baseball, track. They will have a voice on this platform because there's room for them now. You're not limited because you're on the major networks.
And the costs are such that delivering that entertainment is not very high. It's just the recording of it, right?
It's basically we're just a portal, so the cost will be whatever they want to produce.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But to a university as an example, the major cost of broadcasting gymnastics to the 40 people that want to watch it, you know, that have kids at the school or what have you, it's the broadcasting that's the most expensive piece.
It's the most expensive piece, and they have to do it anyway because there's a I don't know how you would explain it, but or what the rights agreement is proper. But I know that for major networks to put on the major men's sports, they also have to do some non-revenue generating sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's part of the contract.
Okay. Great. The only other question I had, Reggie, was for you. Pre-air, we talked a little bit about Lambeau Field and recording football games in Lambeau. And just to dip into your experiences a little bit, tell me about a memorable experience that you had in behind the camera, having to, you know, be out there either, I don't know, Lambeau or Minnesota or wherever you've been.
Well, you know what? It's actually not Lambeau Field. As traditional and as fantastic a place that is to air a game. It was at the Red Sox Stadium, and I did a home run derby for ESPN, and my camera was on top of the Green Monster. And this is the old Green Monster, not the new one, the old Green Monster. And I was following balls that were going into the street.
Yeah.
And before the game, I was able to go into the Green Monster. There's a door where you can walk into the scoreboard back there, inside the Green Monster. And there were names of all these famous people on the wall, and some of the guys were writing their name on the wall. And I was so enamored with the names that I was seeing on the wall that I didn't put my name up there. That was the biggest problem I had. Yeah. I would never forget
that. You missed that one. Huh? You missed that opportunity.
Totally missed that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Very, very cool. So last question I have is for a pearl of wisdom. What would you guys give out as a pearl of wisdom to people that are out there listening and trying to think about doing more media?
I would say that anyone that's considering digital content, that this is a medium that is growing significantly. You don't want to miss the mark like some people were playing catch up with the internet. This is a medium that take advantage of the opportunity to actually get out there and engage your users and your customers, because it's here to stay and it's going to actually be growing.
Great.
And I believe that we're in the foothills of where digital media is going, especially dealing with the internet, and that is plenty of room for people to get on board. But don't take no for an answer. Don't let people talk you out of your dreams, and don't let anyone discourage you from what you want to do. Go for it, keep going, and the sky's the limit.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys coming out. If somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Content at 32ndstreetmedia.com.
Okay. And street is spelled out.
Yes.
Spell out street.
Yes, yes. Spell out street.
Well, thank you guys again for coming in. We appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of that information with us this morning. To our audience, we appreciate your time as well. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.